Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we bring you exciting new guests to talk about, of course, UFOs and the paranormal. And like I always say, there is so much to talk about, so much to discuss. We're living in a universe full of mysteries and exciting events, and the paranormal is really just an exploding field. So I'm so excited to be hosting this show and talking to all these amazing, wonderful people. I hope you enjoyed our show last week. I brought on a guest. Her name was Lillian Vinkovich, and it was actually her first time being on the radio on this show, and she spoke about her UFO experiences, which were really quite extraordinary. She was visited by gray-type ETs in her bedroom. They came into her room and actually spoke with her. And what's really interesting about her case is she did not find the experience frightening at all. In fact, it was, if anything, a benevolent experience, and it led to a kind of a psychic awakening for her. She had a lot of further experiences with channeling and Ashtar and all sorts of really interesting events. Not to mention ghosts. So she was really quite an interesting lady to speak with. And if you didn't get a chance to catch the show, remember, they are all archived on the BBS website. So check it out if you get a chance. I think you'll be delighted and amazed by what she has to say. I know I was. Now, we've been talking a lot about UFOs lately. And so I'm kind of switching it up this week to another one of my favorite topics, which is actually psychic counseling and psychic powers and this sort of thing. Mediumship, clairaudience, you know, psychometry, this whole thing. And our guest tonight is an expert on all these subjects. She's been experiencing it for many, many, many years. She's been a psychic counselor for over 40 years. So she is really quite experienced in this field. And she was, in fact, on the show, this show, just over a year ago in February of last year, 2008, and we had a great time. We talked about all sorts of exciting stuff, and I'm so glad that she's agreed to come back on, because our guest tonight is really just an amazing woman. Her name is Donna Smith. She's been a psychic counselor for more than 40 years. She's a master psychic counselor. She has really quite accomplished working with psychometry, which is reading inanimate objects, clairaudience and clairvoyance, tarot, vortex healings, runes, dream interpretation, divination, sensitive to and paranormal, all sorts of really interesting stuff. She's a certified psychic, actually, with the American Association of Professional Psychics, and she does her readings spiritually. Now, psychometry is reading the metaphysical vibrations that are emanated from the body or voice or an object, for that matter. Any inanimate object can be used, such as a piece of your own jewelry that has been worn by only you, and this is something she does a lot of. She also works with tarot, as I mentioned earlier, and dream interpretation, and just really quite accomplished in this field. And in fact, now that I'm looking at her bio right here, she's been on many radio shows as well, Beyond Reality, Eagle 97.7 in Delaware, Crosswords Paranormal Radio Show, and is actually appearing as 97.7's official psychic herd on the last Thursday of each month. So we're really honored to have her here tonight. Donna, psychic counselor, thank you for coming onto the show.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, in these turbulent times, I bet that there's a lot of people kind of seeking, you know, spiritual advice these days. And so I would imagine you're pretty busy.
Yeah. Actually, it's more like the economy questions, you know, questions on the economy, if they're going to be able to make it, you know, and that sort of thing.
Right, right. So, well, before we get into, you know, what you're doing these days, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about how, you know, your history, about how you got involved in all this stuff. You know, did you grow up believing in the paranormal and or experiencing it? These are the sort of things I'm interested in.
Right. Well, I guess I discovered my gift sometime around 11, 12 years old. And it came through an accident that I had where I was at a park playing with friends, got hit in the right eye with a hard ball, and it literally mashed my right eye. It was quite a long, extensive healing experience for somebody that age. And I guess I was up in my room probably the whole 6 months of convalescing. And it came to pass that my vision actually was better after the healing process, after about 6 months. But during that time of healing, I started getting these sensations such as being able to move things just with the power of my mind, you know. And all during this, and even before that, my mother was a card reader. And she would read cards for a lot of different people, friends, family, that sort of thing. And she wanted to teach me, and I was not interested. But it after a period of maybe 6, 7, 8 years went by, I started getting this feeling and had heard someone else say that when they held an object, they could see things. And I started getting this feeling right before someone had brought this topic up, a friend had mentioned it. And when they did, that kind of set me right into that mode. And I said, let me try that. Someone hand me a piece of jewelry. And when I did, I mean, I was on target, and the visions that I started seeing were incredible. So it started as a preteen, and then I kind of have always been around in you know, with family and friends and that sort of thing, in the belief of past, present, and future visions, of visits from another place, another dimension, such as spirits or UFO and that sort of thing. So I kind of grew up with knowing all of that. And it just enhanced and it got better over the period of years, which has brought me to this point where I am now.
Right. Wow. How interesting. You know, I've heard many other people saying, I've read actually many times, that a lot of people have had their intuitive powers awakened by some sort of accident. I think like George Martin, I think he had a fever or something, and he's now actually a pretty prominent psychic, and there's a lot of cases like that. It's really bizarre. I mean, talk about a blessing in disguise.
Well, this is true. Yes, this is true. I've heard even, you know, like people that have been stunned by lightning. I think that what happens here, Preston, is that it awakens something in the right hemisphere of our brain. This is where it's believed that if we had or would develop that portion of our brain, which we, you know, most of us know there's a left and a right, and if we develop that right side of our brain, that right hemisphere, that we could be, like, actually superhuman. But do we bother? No.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are just trying to survive, and I think people vastly underestimate our own potential and how close they are to, you know, achieving a lot of this type of higher awareness.
Yes, so, I agree.
I think it's difficult for people. But you embraced it, right? I mean, so that's what led to your rapid growth in this field, I would say.
Well, yeah. It was something that when I really started doing this as an adult, that I had prayed about this and asked for guidance. And with my belief in being in God, and I know everybody has their beliefs, so that's, you know, something that I do respect, but mine is my belief in God. And I had prayed and said, you know, look, if this isn't from you or this isn't meant to help other people, then take everything away from me. I don't want this gift. But it is, if it's from you and I'm to help people or to give them guidance and direction, then please enhance it and help me to grow. And I have done nothing but move forward over all these years. So I know where it comes from.
All right. Well, I have to applaud you because I think a lot of people get frightened by their experiences. And, you know, certainly that's true with, like, out-of-body experiences. A lot of people have, you know, started to look into that, and then they have their first out-of-body experience, and they become terrified. Which I've had a lot of experience in that particular area, so I've spoken with a lot of people, but it's interesting how fear becomes a barrier to this stuff. And I was wondering, I mean, in your case, it didn't frighten you at all? I mean, in the beginning, I mean?
No, absolutely not. Like I said, I was in a family that had, we talked about this stuff all the time. So no, it didn't. Actually, I had found it rather amusing as a child. And like I said, this has been nothing but helpful. So, you know, with what I do as far as the psychic counseling, this is only something that enhances my own life as well as others. It's a growth for me, a spiritual and an emotional growth for me as well as for my clients. So, no, there is nothing frightening about this. When you're going towards the light, Preston, things are always, to me, always better or positive as opposed to going towards the dark.
All right. Well, you know, say you get information psychically when you're doing a reading or doing psychometry or what have you, or even just, you know, a vision that is unpleasant or involves a tragedy. This is something that, you know, I've experienced, I know other people certainly have, where you have, say, a dream of an upcoming, you know, illness or death in the family, and it comes true. How do you deal with that? Because certainly it seems a lot of the information that's coming through, it's not all going to be, you know, rosy.
No, absolutely not. Well, the best way to deal with a situation like that, number one, is to pray, especially if you know that if there's nothing after meditation or resting or focusing on what that dream meant. Is this dream literal, or does that mean something else? To some interpreters of dream, some people may say that a dreaming of a death would be actually the beginning of life, which is totally opposite, the birth. So they may hear of a birth. However, that could be literal, and it could be a warning. If there is nothing that dreamer could have done or knows to do, there's absolutely nothing they can do to change that, okay, that's when prayer would come in, okay? And that, again, is my belief in my practice. I don't always get tragic visions. This may be, you know, there are doctors out there. One may be a gynecologist, another one may work, you know, they may be just a general, you know, work in a general practice,
right.
You know, specialist, okay? It perhaps maybe I fall into a category of a specialist to where I work with everyday life issues, okay, that I, you know, I see, like, whether or not their relationship or lack of it is going forward or falling apart, or, you know, their finances. I mean, these are things that we deal with in our daily life. Tragedies do happen in daily life, and I understand that too. But I don't get many of those, Preston. If I do, I do try to analyze. I try to meditate on that. You know, this is something that at times, like I said, that, you know, it's going to happen. It's fate. It's going to happen. But if you can tell, okay, there's a flight leaving. See if there's a flight leaving, you know, an hour or two later or the next day, you know, if at all possible, because I see some problems. But, you know, to see extreme tragedy, I don't. I have had only one vision over many, many years, and it's something that is uncontrollable, just as it would frighten some. It doesn't frighten me, but it does concern me. And it deals with the area of the West Coast. I have never gotten really any kind of clear vision on when, except that when I try to, either get spirit guidance on that or some kind of answers of when this tragedy might take place, I've seen it too. This has happened for many years, and this is some sort of a natural tragedy, I guess you would say, or a natural happening that would take place somewhere on the West Coast, kind of parallel to what Nostradamus has already predicted. and you know, that I see earthquakes and some high waters such as tidal waves or tsunamis, and some devastation. But to go into detail, I just, you know, it would be hard to speak it because I see it, but it's really hard for me to, you know, speak it to someone else and tell you exactly what it is I see.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting. You know, I have had the experience as well of a vision of an earthquake, which occurred actually the next day. So it's when people get scared of stuff like that, to me, it's how can a higher awareness be a bad thing, right? That's the way I look at it. I mean, would you rather not know? Ignorance doesn't seem to me a promising path. And it's interesting to me that the messages you're getting are so positive, because I think it's very beneficial that people focus on the positive, and that's what they'll get back. I mean, you get back what you put out, and like attracts like, and, you know, the secret and all of that. So here's my question, Donna. Now, you're having all these amazing experiences. You're waking up to this whole new awareness. And how did you move to deciding to do this professionally and start helping people and, you know, really getting your gift out there?
Okay. Well, I have a sister that's older than I am, 10 years older. And she knows that I, you know, was always, you know, doing this for friends and family. And she said, why don't we just try one night having some people over? She said, people that you don't know. I'll invite five. She said, see if you can, you know, get one person to invite five others that you don't know. And, you know, we'll just have some snacks and, you know, see what happens. And I was dead on with most of them who had come back. One lady had actually called me a few days later and said, you know, that I was so dead on. And she was like, well, I want to have a party. So I started doing psychic parties, very, very minimal fee, because at that point in time I still, you know, I didn't feel I had enough, I didn't have enough confidence in myself. I wanted to make sure that every person that sat down across from me, that I did a reading for, that I was being as honest and sincere with visions and insight as I possibly could. So at that point in time, I was still a little shaky when I started beginning work with people that are total strangers, the general public. But after about two or three parties and doing it every day, even if it was for myself or for a friend, it just started to flow. It started to flow, and it's just like anything else that anyone does. The more you do something, Preston, the better you become at it.
Wow. Well, it must. I mean, how does it feel like to be accurate like that? I mean, that's it's amazing. I mean, because most people, you know, just don't have that ability, or at least if they do, they're not using it.
Thing is that, first of all, never, ever, if anyone is listening that has this ability or thinks that they do, there's something I learned years ago. Don't be overconfident, okay? Don't be so sure of yourself, but be confident enough to give others what you really believe you see, okay? They always say go with your first instinct or your intuitive nature. Go with that. Go with what you see. Go with what you feel. And, you know, it could be right, but I don't offer guarantees. I tell almost every one of my clients, probably every one of them that I've ever read, I don't offer guarantees. Life offers no guarantees. A reading, whether it's tarot, whether it's runes, palmistry, it is something that is, it's kind of like a roadmap or a story of your life. What has happened, what is happening, and what could happen. Each individual has freedom of choice. So, you know, I could read a person and I could say, okay, this, and this with your career maybe, and they take a different path. So some of these things may not come to pass. But when I do have people, and I've had many testimonies over the years, each one of them, Preston, blows me away. It's like, oh, really? Oh, my God, I am so, you know, either happy that glad that I could give you that insight, and this came to pass. You see, so it just enhances or helps. It's a testimony that gives me the desire to keep doing this and wanting to do this for other people.
Right. Well, I applaud you again for doing this. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Donna, Master Psychic Counselor. She's been on our show before, and we're talking about her work as a clairvoyant, clairaudient. She does psychometry, tarot, vortex healing, works with runes, dream interpretation, divination, and all manner of various psychic arts. So it's very exciting to have her on tonight, and I want to remind everyone that this is a call-in show. So if you have a question for our guest or an experience you'd like to share, we love to hear from you. We always love having callers in. So I'm going to give out the toll-free number right now. Grab your pen. The number is 888-228-4494. Let me say that again in case you didn't catch it. 888-228-4494. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. So, Donna, now can you take us through what a typical reading is like? I mean, I've always been curious what it's like inside the head of a psychic and how they receive their information and how it feels and the process that, you know, the mechanics that you go through when you're working with someone.
Well, my technique is to always begin a reading, to open that reading with psychometry. And then I read the tarot. I will follow with the cards. And I do it that way, Preston, because I don't want anything that I see in the cards to influence what I would see with the psychometry. So I want to be able to use that clairvoyance and clairsentience and the clairaudience first. When I begin, I ask that person, that client, to please hand me a piece of jewelry, something that's been worn only by them, unless they desire to have some information or some insight on someone else. So if it is their reading, and 95% of my clients, it's their reading, and they'll hand me a piece of jewelry. At that point, I go into a slight meditative state, and I start seeing visions. I see visions usually in a format that I believe, spirit-guided from the very beginning, and that is love, health, their career, that sort of thing, their domestic environment, and, of course, their finances. And it usually goes in that format. There are times when visions come in that are not in order. And, I give it to them as it comes to me. There have been times, and I don't channel. I don't choose to when I'm doing a reading. But there have been times that I have had things given, information or messages given to my client from someone that had passed over, that, you know, they were close to. And these are the times that, like, my hair just stands on end because it comes out involuntarily. Do I see the exact things in my mind's eye when I'm reading them that I'm giving to them? Not always. Sometimes I'm seeing symbolic things that I have to, in just matters of split seconds, I have to transpose and interpret so that I can give them the correct message when I'm doing the psychometry. But that's not always the case. Sometimes I see the exact scene that it is going to take place, and it just out in the mind's eye. And this is all pretty spontaneous, so it has to flow, and it's something that's, I don't know, again, other than being spirit-guided, you know, and God-led, that's the only way I can explain it. But after that, then we go into the session of reading cards. And the cards are laid out. Sometimes the cards, I take those cards at their face value, what the meaning of that card is. But again, there are other times that I feel that I've been led, spirit guide led, to give the interpretation that I'm being told or I'm being shown. So not always are the cards the exact science of what they're going to be told. And that's how the session goes. I record all of my sessions, and I feel it's really important for my client to be able to go back and listen to how their session went, listen to what was said, because sometimes, many times during a reading, if a person is, they can get hung up on the last thing you said. You know, you're going to meet that, you know, tall, dark stranger, and, you know, it's possible it can happen in, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months here. And now they're caught, just hung up on that tall, dark stranger, and you're giving them information, you know, on other very important aspects of their life. So they can go back, and they can get the exact wording and the exact tone of each one of our voices as I speak and they respond. I leave my sessions open for them to ask questions, but I never ask them. The only question that I think I can ever remember asking is to open the psychometry with that love relationship section or segment and ask them if they are in a relationship. Sometimes I already, many times I already know the answer, but I want, you know, to be able to ground that reading. And that's the only question that I ask. Beyond that, it's, you know, it's up to them. And I leave that open for them to ask questions on things that maybe I didn't touch base on, questions concerning that spread or layout. Many times they'll respond by saying, yes, I didn't understand this part. And then I'll go back over it until they say, oh, okay, I do understand you now. But it's good to go back and be able to refer to that with the recorded session. And that's how I do it.
Wow. Well, I might be asking you to speculate a little bit here, but I mean, how does psychometry work? I mean, where is the information that you're receiving coming from? Is it from spirits, spirit guides, the deceased loved ones of the people you're reading for, or, you know, God, or... What do you think?
Well, I think I could probably question all of those and more. I believe that they come from different sources. I mean, you know, am I right? I don't know. If it was an exact science, I could give you an exact answer as far as my understanding. So, but I do believe that, you know, as far as holding a piece of jewelry or any inanimate object for that matter, as long as it's not something that is considered porous, such as clothing and along those lines, which I have had been asked to read before. But you're holding that inanimate object. That inanimate object, if it has been close enough to you, is going to pick up and contain the metaphysical vibrations that are emanating from us. Okay, now how does that work scientifically along the lines of, you know, what I do? I couldn't tell you because I don't know. Just the same as, you know, if we started talking about the paranormal and those people that have passed, how do we communicate with them and you know, carry conversations, which we do? Where are they? You know, these are things that we're still working to get answers to.
Wow, it's very, very, very interesting. So what would you say has been one of your more dramatic type of readings? I mean, have you had reading for people, you know, start crying or things like that? I would imagine that would happen.
Yes, let me take you way away from that for 1 second, if I can, Preston. The most dramatic reading I've done, you can get some of that EVPs on that. That was for Sarah Winchester. She is the heiress to the Winchester rifle fortune.
Sure,
Yeah, a lot of information that listeners can get by just putting Sarah Winchester in the search engines, and they'll find a lot on her. She passed away in 1922. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I did an EVP session to just tell her I'd like to speak with her and meet her. And the answers that we got back were, like, just mind-boggling. She had requested a reading. And some of those, like I said, can be found on my website where, you know, we've uploaded those so people could hear it. But that was the most dramatic reading, because she did respond to that after the reading. We took some more EVP audio, and she responded to that as well. That was the most way-out reading that I've ever done. Beyond that, I remember years ago doing a reading for a lady in a wheelchair who had given a party, and when it was her turn, she said, "I don't really want to know any of the other stuff." She said, "I've been in this wheelchair for 17 years. I just want to know if I'll ever walk again." That was difficult because, you know, I couldn't find the answer in the cards, and I wasn't going to. So I put my head down, and I was like, "Okay, God, this is one for you, because I don't know what I don't want to tell her something that, you know, this is could seriously affect her life one way or the other." And
right.
Before I had a chance to, you know, see or feel anything, involuntarily I told her that it would be in September of that same year. I said, "You'll take your first steps in 17 years." And she called me, like, maybe mid-October, and she said, "I've been meaning to call you and tell you." She said, "I took three steps." And she said, the doctor said it was a miracle, and she said, indeed it was. And another lady that had come to me, probably in her 50s, and before I began even doing the psychometry, before she ever handed me a piece of jewelry, I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt this woman was wanting to end her life. And I looked at her and I said, "Why do you want to do something like that?" She said, "Like what?" I said, "Why would you want to end your life?" And at that point, Preston, she started crying, and she said, "I have terminal cancer." She said, "It's not getting any better. I'm in pain." And she said, "I just can't take it anymore. I stopped taking my medication. It stopped working. I just stopped having any faith in any of it." And and that was pretty heavy. And again, involuntarily, my response to her was, "Put your faith back in God. Start taking your meds again. You're not dying. You're not going to die. Your pain's going to subside, and I know this." Well, this was without me pre-thinking it or, saying, "Well, what can I tell her to comfort her?" It came right out of my mouth. And this was, like I said, without any control. I met that woman a year later, and she was fine. Her cancer went into remission. She had put on her back, when I first met her, very frail, very sickly looking, she had put back on all of her normal weight. She was enjoying her life, and she said, "Do you remember me?" And I was like, "You look vaguely familiar, but I've just seen so many people, you know, over the last, you know, several years." She said, "Well, I'm the dead lady." She said, "I'm the one that was dying of cancer, and you told me that it was going to go into remission, and it did." So these are some of the ones that really stand out in my mind. Very dramatic.
Wow, that's extraordinary. It's amazing. See, people can... And that's cosmic. I mean, imagine if she didn't meet you. I think the work you're doing is so important, and I'm glad to see that doctors and, you know, the mainstream medical community is beginning to embrace alternative healings and things like that. Which brings me to my next question, like, about healings. Do you have any information about, you know, what is vortex healing, and how does a healing work?
Okay, well, the term vortex, I'm not really sure if that's how I would want to permanently label what I do. I just realized that I can do this possibly in the last 2 years. But my hands, I can feel a great sensation of kind of like it's not really a numbness or pins and needles kind of thing. It's an extreme amount of energy. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or any of the listeners can relate to. But it was happening to me quite frequently. And then I guess spirit guide led again. When somebody is in pain, if they're suffering, you know, I could put my hands not completely on them, sort of like Reiki, but not touching the person, maybe 3-4 inches from the affected area. And I've had a lady that had a tumor in her back. She needed back surgery, but she couldn't have the surgery because where the tumor was, was very, very in a very difficult spot, and it was very dangerous for her to have the surgery. So she was taking all kinds of medication, and nothing was helping her with the pain. So I had done a body scan, which is, again, taking my hands and going maybe 2 or 3 inches from the person's body, feeling the affected area, which is a sensation to me. Either it could be very, very warm, or it could be very, very tingly in that area, in the palm of my hand and in my fingers. And usually I can, I'd say 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, I have not missed it yet as far as being able to tell where that pain, discomfort, or disease is coming from. But as the, on the same token, this is what I do to help them with pain, and I'll not touch them, but just place my hand right above the affected area and just leave it there until I feel either the sensation in my hand or the heat or the tingling from their body subsides. And then I feel as if that, you know, has done something there. I've helped a little boy that had sickle cell, and the little fellow was getting ready to go to the hospital before his mom brought him to me, and she was going to take him to the emergency room. And he was in tears. She carried him into my house, and he was crying. He was like 6 or 7. And I said, I guess this bothers you that, you know, your leg hurts and you can't get out and play with your friends. He said, I can't even walk. And so I did what I had to do as far as the body scan and then placing my hand. I feel that the energy is coming from the universe, okay, and that I placed the left hand on the affected area, raising my right hand back up into, like, into the air to release that. I feel as if that healing energy is coming from above, flowing through me into them. And either if it's like a tumor or something like that, I just feel it, and can almost see in my mind's eye a tumor is just breaking up, or a tumor is just shrinking back. And usually, Preston, that's what happens. That's what happens. This is something that, again, like I said, it's still fairly new to me. So, wow, where did this come from? Except from above, and I know it had to come from, you know, God or this great universe somewhere out there. But, yeah. Do I label it? I don't know what else to call it. You know, I don't know.
Wow, very, very interesting. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Donna, Master Psychic Counselor. She has more than 40 years of experience and was previously certified psychic with the American Association of Professional Psychics and has done more than 20,000 recorded readings, both nationwide and international. She offers over-the-phone readings and email readings, and has been doing this for a very long time. And remember, this is a call-in show. Guys, if you want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you. Here's the toll-free number again. It's 888-228-4494. And Donna, do you want to give out your website as well?
Yes, they can get more information on at our Metaphysical Center, and it is at www.voicesfrombeyond7.com.
Okay, www.voicesfrombeyond7, all squished together, right? voicesfrombeyond7.com. Okay, yeah, I encourage people to visit the website. I'm sure you'll find all sorts of interesting things there. Now, let me see, what haven't we covered? Boy, we've talked to One thing I have to ask you, Donna, because I ask this of all my guests, is have you had any UFO experiences? Have you ever seen a UFO?
And for anybody that says there is no such thing, shame on them. Absolutely. And you know, can I just go into one thing that really bothers me about
sure.
people that in them? Again, we are just such a tiny speck in such a big universe. What makes people think or believe that we are the only species, human species or species of life form, okay, that can exist? Okay. That being said, yes. Now, many years ago, I experienced things that I don't have any other explanation for, except that it was not of the norm, not normal, and possibly or most likely paranormal experiences with cars breaking down in the country, bright lights flashing over above us, cars that then the vehicle wouldn't start one night. This happened to happen actually several times. Different parts of, you drive out in the country when you're, a young teen or whatever. Those kind of things that, no one could explain. But most recently, about a year and a half ago, I was in my house and I glanced out my kitchen window to my back porch, which was a habit that I always did. What was I looking for? I have no idea. I just, just look out the back porch, the window, overlooking the back porch. And one night I did that, and what I saw, I will never forget. It looked to me, Preston, like it was of a gray color. And now we had a back porch light on. We didn't have the light on. But there was one of those security lights reflecting, so you could, it wasn't total darkness. We were backed up to a wooded area, so without that light it would have been. And I did see this creature. I don't know. It had a very large head, okay? And it was kind of like laying its head on my porch, and its body was kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like slumped, almost slumped over. And it had, the eyes were closed, but the eyes looked like they were very large. It looked like a person with a big head and no hair, okay? And a little bit of wrinkles, but not really wrinkly. The one thing that really freaked me out was that the fingers were real, real long and very bony, like, kind of. I'm telling you, this is what I picked up in, like, split seconds, because I can't tell you. We do paranormal investigations. We talk to people that are deceased. We come in contact with spirits that are not of the deceased. And that can be sometimes unnerving, but never have I ever freaked out over seeing something like that in my life. And it just, the head was kind of just bobbing as injured or something. That's what really freaked me. It was like I said, maybe 2 seconds, 3 seconds, I glance and I'm like, what? Closed the curtain, back door, and went into the other room, grabbed my husband. I said, you're not going to believe what is on our porch. You're not going to believe this. And by the time he came back and he looked out there, he said, what? There was nothing there. Okay, so, I don't drink, so I wasn't, intoxicated. I wasn't going through any sort of an emotional breakdown or anything. Everything was perfectly normal. The environment in my home at that time was very relaxed and very normal. But when I seen that, I don't know, I'll tell you, it shook me. So, on the paranormal end of it, I have had experiences with what I believe. I don't believe it was a process of losing my mind. I know what I saw.
Right, right. No, it sounds a lot like, other stories I've heard, but of course unique in its own way. Very interesting. Wow. That's extraordinary. It's a much wider universe than a lot of people realize, I guess. And we're not alone.
And we're not alone when we're talking UFO. We're not alone when we're talking spirit.
Huh.
This is something, they're everywhere. Spirits are everywhere. And I've heard a lot of people's theories on aliens and UFOs, and I haven't heard anything yet from anybody that I spoke to that was so far-fetched that you couldn't believe it. I mean, I don't know, what you've read up on or heard other people say or the guests that you've had on your shows, but I have not heard anything that has been so outrageous that you just know they're making it up. There has to be some kind of truth to what I've heard and what I've seen.
Right. It's funny that you say that because, I will occasionally hear stories that I'm like, wow, that one's just a little bit too far out for me. But then I keep doing the investigations and sure enough, another person comes along and has the same story, you know, and corroborates these details, you know, to an amazing degree. So I totally agree with you. There's a lot of stuff going on that people would think is extremely bizarre, but it's true. It's all true.
I publish an international magazine, Psychic Times International, and we do have a writer that writes for us on a regular basis. His name is Paul Robinson, and he writes articles for us, and I guess for other newsletters and magazines, and it's under the title Presidential Need to Know. And, you know, maybe he goes into more depth in other newspapers, articles, but he does say, you know, to some degree, you know, what it is that is going on that too many people have witnessed, too many people know, and we're just not being told.
Right. Well, the times are changing. I think we're heading for a whole new consciousness, and it seems like there's rapid growth in this area, you know, which is evidenced by your success and stuff. So the Psychic Times and stuff, wow, you're really busy doing all sorts of stuff, huh?
Always.
So let me see, we just got like 5 minutes left, Donna. What haven't we covered? What do you think our listeners should know about, you know, these fields that you're working in? And what information can help them to get through these trying times that we're experiencing these days?
The first thing that I would suggest is, if you don't believe in anything, find something to believe in, okay? You have to find something, and it should be something positive that you believe in. Your higher power, your maker, God, wherever you go with this. To do that is to give you something, some grounding, okay? Meditation, prayer, in no matter which way you do it, okay? These are things that we need to get back to our basics right now. It's a very difficult time. It's a very trying time. Get back to the basics, okay? Get back in touch with your spirit. Remember that we're made more and composed more of spirit than we are flesh and bone. And so to keep that spirit satisfied and filled, find that which, you know, what you turn to and what you believe in, okay? That'll get you through difficult times. Even though it may seem at times that it's not working, don't give it up. Because it's for those that give up, they're the ones that they're going to suffer in the end. So, you know, I give that advice that people should find something that they believe in. They have to have faith in something. I would also suggest for those people that are really feeling that there's no hope, there's a book, there's a movie, there's a secret. It's called The Secret. And I know that that has helped me through many, many trying times. I believe you can get that online. You might be able to find it on YouTube. But it's called The Secret. It is the law of the universe. What you're going to put out and what you believe in is what's going to come back. So, you know, these are things that I tell my clients, you know, get in touch with yourself again, with your spirit, with who you really are, with who you're going to be for an eternity. Get in touch with that and get in touch with that which created it, okay, and enhance that, develop that. There is a wealth of information on the Internet. There are libraries. There are groups, people in groups that, you know, that they may attend a group or a meeting of some sort. I would suggest that.
Sounds like great advice. And I would also recommend that people come and have a session with you. I know in my experience, visiting a psychic has always been a very uplifting and inspiring experience. So I would definitely encourage people to do that. And I'll give out your website again. It's www.voicesfrombeyond7.com. Is that right?
That is right, Preston.
Well, Donna, I want to thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been a delight, as always, and I'm just so glad you're out there doing this really important work, because I know we need it.
you for having me on, Preston, and thank the listeners.
Oh, I definitely will. All right, everyone. Thank you all for listening. I hope you've enjoyed our show tonight as much as I have. Our guest tonight has been Donna, Master Psychic Counselor. She's been doing this work for many, many years. And if you want to have a session with a psychic, I would recommend this one highly. She's just amazing. Here's her website once again, www.voicesfrombeyond7.com. She does readings over the phone and through email, so it's very convenient and exciting. I'm sure you'll find it a very inspiring experience, so give it a try. Well, everyone, again, thanks for listening. That is our show for tonight. I want to invite you all to listen next week when I bring on another exciting guest to talk about UFOs and the paranormal on BBS Network. Until then, please have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.